This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Eight minutes after 8 o'clock here on the left coast. Joining me, the man, the myth, the legend, P. Kimball Holmes, Grand Forks, North Dakota. What is up, Chef?
Well, guess what? It's the 4th of July next Wednesday. Hallelujah.
Hey, when is it chow time,
delinquents.
When is the nation celebrating that? When's the 3-day weekend? Is it this Monday or the following Friday or the following Monday?
Well, if any boss is smart, they'll give them off from Friday. They'll give them off Saturday through the following Sunday, back to work Monday. Now, that's what a cool boss would do. Otherwise, I have no idea which weekend. My guess is it's probably Friday, Saturday. I just don't know. Because I always gave everybody 2 weeks off over the 4th. A week to 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah, but that's bullshit, okay? Because you did it because you shut it down, you had maintenance you had to do and stuff like that. So don't act like you were some benevolent boss. Okay, you were
No.
You were slave driving 50 weeks out of the year, and then you had to have your floors refinished, your kitchen done, and so you chose that time. But come on, man, don't sell me that.
Hey, the employees didn't have to lift a finger for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Don't give me any of that. They had to freeze things that needed to be frozen, throw things out that needed to be thrown out. I had somebody come in and do the floors professionally every year to redo the floors, the carpet clean, and then the kitchen crew came back a day early to take everything out that needed to be thawed out and receive orders so they can be ready for the opening the next day. And that's how I rolled, honest to gosh.
I know. It was a business decision. It wasn't your benevolent good nature. It's like, take a couple weeks off, boys and girls. So, come on, man. I'm just trying to keep it real.
You are keeping it real, Matt. You always keep it real, baby.
Don't go there with me. So do you have any plans? Oh, your man crush Bobby is at the lake. You're going to go down and visit him?
I'm going to go down for the weekend, and I'll be back Sunday, and Beth and I will be here on the 4th of July. I'll be going to Laddie and getting my foot-long hot dog, which I eat once a year. So I have a few days of foot-long hot dog eating, feasting. And we'll make some potato salad, and coleslaw, and just hang out, watch the fireworks from our deck downtown. I live in the inner city, folks. It's inner city as Grand Forks, North Dakota can get.
Yeah,
it's pretty white.
a block and a half in. To the inner city.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about 4th of July food, and the theme is though the chef part is too, right?
Oh, that's a must. That is an absolute must. That's why you have to prepare most everything, the day or two before the 4th, because when the 4th gets here, you get up. You have a little Bloody Mary, and then you start the party. And whether you're at the lake or in the backyard, hanging out around a swimming pool, wherever that may be, and if you are a grill person, you have your patties already preformed.
Hold on. You're going to go into shit I don't want to go into yet. So you're going down the lake. How long are you going to spend at the lake?
I'll be back Sunday.
You know, see, everybody listening has to understand this. Everybody in, like, the Upper Plains refers to their lake as the lake. So it's a generic term. It sounds like a specific term. Like, in California, if you say, in Northern California, you say, I'm going to the lake, normally you mean Lake Tahoe. Because there's an ocean on one side of the state. But if you say the lake, now, if you live in Sacramento, you could be going to Lake Berryessa or Bass Lake or something like that. But for most of it, people mean Lake Tahoe. But in the land of 10,000 lakes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Like you you're clueless on what lake they're going to.
Yeah,
you just know it's a lake.
But you don't even, well, you might know them, and if you know them, you can ask them, like, well, what lake are you talking about? But most of the time, you just leave it at that. Oh, you're going to Duloc? Like, yeah, I'm going to Duloc. So that's how people, like, I'm going to the lake. Oh, okay. The lake. So the lake is kind of a Midwest expression. What about other expressions in the Midwest? You betcha is one of them, yes?
You betcha. And
oofta. Oofta.
You betcha.
Oofta.
And going to the lake.
No, oofta, right?
Oh, oofta. Oh, my gosh. Oh, forgive me.
Another thing they say is pop. Like, you know, if you live in California, if you want something cold to drink, it's like, hey, do you want a Coke? Do you want, in the Midwest, they say, hey, do you want a pop? What? What are you talking about? Do I want a pop? Do you want a pop? Soda.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there's another one. Another thing they say that the first time I heard, it confused me. Like, Kim's going to the lake, right? So he would say to me, hey, Mac, I'm headed to the lake to go see my man friend Bobby. And do you want to go with? Now, the rest of the country would say, do you want to go with me? Do you want to go with me? But in the Upper Plains, they say, do you want to go with? And I used to wait like,
That's right.
Are you gonna finish the sentence? And they're like, I did. I said, do you want to go with? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then you go on to the next subject.
So what else? I'm trying to think. Maybe other things will come to me. But those are some. Those are the lake. So, the email question, hey, Mac, if the chef could put 5 spices in a box that he was going to take to a deserted island, excluding salt and pepper, what would they be? Ooh, interesting kind of general knowledge question. What would it be?
It'd be garlic, onions, or onion powder, garlic powder. It would be, I like fennel.
What?
When I kill my dog, I can make sausage.
Whoa.
Five. Basil. I definitely have basil. And then salt and pepper, but that doesn't count. Oregano. And thyme.
Okay, go over the list one more time.
Thyme, basil, oregano, garlic, shallots, and onions.
Onions? Yeah. I'm talking about spices, not.
Yeah, I know.
Onions, that's a vegetable, not a spice. Come on. Why are you trying to play me today like a chump?
Spice for me, Mac.
Oh, so you're going to read.
Onion powder, garlic powder.
All right. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
That's what I would do.
All right. Here's another email question. Hey, Mac, could you ask the chef what kind of wine opener he uses and how he preserves his wine? We've talked about this before, but.
Okay, you open it with a corkscrew, and I have a corkscrew that has a long corkscrew It's got six turns to it, so you can get into the court. And you, because if you don't go in far enough, you'll just pull the top half of the cork out, and then you're screwed.
Okay, so when is it a double lever, single lever? Explain.
I was going to tell you that it's a double lever.
Okay.
So you open it with the first, and then you pull it up, and then you can put the second lever on the lip of the wine bottle. And then it's easy to open. You get good leverage.
Okay.
And far as preserving it.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you one more question relative to that. So you pierce the underside of the cork.
You're not supposed to go all the way through the cork into the bottle.
You're not.
And certain wines, red wines, have longer corks than the white wines do. But you have to pay attention. You have to go in far enough, and that just comes with opening a lot of wine.
All right.
You'll have it figured out.
So don't pierce the underside of the cork.
No, sir.
Got it. All right.
No,
sir. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Now, preserving it.
Well, there's two ways. If you're going to drink it the next day,
yeah,
you can just stick the cork back in the bottle.
Okay.
Or they have these little pulls out the oxygen in the bottle and seals it, and it has a little pump handle on it that you put in the bottle and pump it up, and then you put a little, there's a cap in there. Or the third way is you drink it all, and
you preserve it in your bloodstream.
Yes, but like me, I'll open a bottle of Chianti, say.
Yes,
and it's just me because my wife doesn't drink wine, and I'll drink half a bottle with dinner, and then the next day I'll have it either with food or just sipping it. And if you open a bottle of red wine, you open and you should let it breathe for a half an hour before you pour it. If you're a real wine guy, you'll pour it in a decanter, and that lets the oxygen get in and the wine breathes and opens up, is what they say. And you get more of the flavor and aroma of the wine. White wine, you pull out of the refrigerator, open it, and drink it.
I like
white wines chilled.
That much of a difference between red and white wine in terms of preservation?
No, you can do the same thing with white. We sold white wines by the glass,
right,
and we had these little plunger things that took out the oxygen, and then we put a stopper in there.
Okay, so I want to talk about the science of preserving wine. So the biggest thing you have to do is you have to take the oxygen out of the bottle, which stops the oxidation process that changes the wine to essentially vinegar or some derivative thereof. Yes.
Yes, it's
okay.
Perfect.
So corking, you know, like you see those heavy glass stoppers and things like that that people use. If you're going to do that, the wine needs to be consumed immediately. If you're not, if you're going to save the bottle for, say, the next weekend, then you need to have a little bit more robust corking capability that, I don't even know if corking is the right term, that sucks the air out of that and preserves your wine, yes?
Absolutely not.
Whoa, how about that? And, boom, everybody, yeah!
Mac, you've got a wine game today.
Wine game. I've never had wine game. I developed from doing car shows. I can troubleshoot your electrical system on your car. I can. You may not believe that, but I don't really give a shit. I can. Okay. The first thing when you start having issues with the electrical system on your car, the first thing question you need to ask, did I install an aftermarket automatic car starter, an aftermarket something else that's in your electrical system. That is normally the first place to look. Okay? There you go. Yep. So that's a little, this is a little electrical troubleshooting. All right? For all you chumps out there, for all you smart people, don't worry about it. But yeah, I have game. But wine is foreign to me. I'm not a wine drinker. I don't drink it very much. And so the whole corking thing, I look at it and I'm like, I don't really understand this. And so I think I have my hands around it, my arms around it now, and I feel better about it.
Well, when you open a bottle of wine, red or white,
yes,
you usually get 4.5 glasses out of a bottle. And so if you, there's two of you, you shouldn't have to worry about corking it. You should, both of you should drink half a bottle. Not only taste great, but you get a little tingle.
Oh, and, really? A tingle?
Oh, really? Yeah. A little tingle, baby.
Can you elaborate? Like, what is, when you say tingle, what do you mean? Like, you get a little buzz going? You get a little high?
Get a little buzz. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, now, when I, back in, when I was in my 20s and I worked in Florence, Italy, my buddy and I would go out on our, we had one day off a week. We'd go out, we'd go to this, one of our restaurants and, split a Fiasco. That's a liter and a half bottle of wine. And then we'd go running around downtown Florence and carrying on. And then dinner, we'd split another Fiasco. And then we'd go have, espresso and grappa. And,
very European.
And then I'm in the front row, about mile and a half above her, and having a great time. I needless to say, I don't go there anymore. But four people and a bottle of wine, you go through it in one sitting. And if all you want is one glass, that's perfect. And somebody can have that half a glass, because I know there's one of you at the table that wants the rest of that wine.
Okay. So the bottom line is that if you're gonna store it and keep it, you gotta have a better corking system. Is that what it's called? Corking system? What is it actually called? Is that the right?
Yes, you're spot on, Matt.
I'm crushing wine today.
Yeah, you're crushing it. If you really are confused what we're talking about, when you go buy a bottle of wine at a wine store or liquor store, there'll be somebody there to tell you exactly what you tell them, how you're going to drink it, how often you're going to drink it, and they'll give you instructions on what,
on which,
as a device,
yeah, on which expensive corking system that you should use. They're very helpful.
And they don't have, they're not, you, they're, you can spend a lot of money, but right, you don't have to. There's
even if you, because the preserving spec side of the corking system, that can get pricey, yeah, though, can it?
Oh, yes, it can.
Right.
Yes, it can. They have these oxygen machines. I mean, you can go into these wine bars now, and they'll have anywhere from 12 to 20, 30 bottles of wine that are placed in this machine side by side, and you cork it, and the wine lasts 2-3 weeks without it. Tastes just like you opened it.
Oh, we love that.
A week later. Yeah. But those machines are $10,000-$20,000.
Okay.
So that's not... you go to the wine bar and have them pour, and then you can get a taste, half a glass or a full glass. So.
All right. We can live with that. Here's another question. We've covered this before talking about wine, but, hey, Mac, would you ask him, does he use a wine aerator when he drinks wine. Do you use that, or do you pour straight out of the bottle into the glass?
For my Chianti, I just pour it out of the bottle. I open the bottle about an hour before I use it, drink it, I mean, and then I just pour it into the glass. But I have some expensive bottles of wine, up to $300-$400 a piece, and then I use an aerator for sure. And I have Mac has on his web page when we did wine.
Yeah,
the three aerators I use, and so the Solara, I think it's Solari. That's the best one for me. I love it, and that you just fit that over the, take the cork out and put that in, and then you pour the wine upside down into the glass.
Oh my God!
It funnels through. You'll go to the liquor store and look at the options you have. They have two or three, and they range anywhere from $25 to $50.
And I'll tell you what, if you go to the All Marine Radio website and in the search box, you just type in wine, boom.
Yep.
At the top of the list. Wine corks and wine aerators by Kim Holmes. You can listen to it. Yeah. How about that? Let's see if it actually plays. Yeah, it's 56 minutes and 54 seconds, courtesy of your friends here at All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Okay, let's talk about the 4th of July. Because we care. Okay. All right, 4th of July. Let's look at, so I close my eyes and I'm looking at my 4th of July table. What I'm gonna serve. Okay. So first of all, we're gonna design the menu. What do we design? All right. More than that. We got it because a week ahead we're buying. So are burgers and brats or burgers and hot dogs, is that mandatory on the 4th of July?
I
think so.
I think so. And brats, throw brats in there too.
Burgers, brats, and hot dogs have to be on the menu.
Yes.
Okay. Now, okay. And you know what? When I think of this, I think of Elton John talking to Ed Sheeran about how to put a concert together. Right? Because the lament you hear from artists is, I want to play my new stuff. Okay, and the lament you hear from concert going was, he didn't play any of his old stuff. Okay, so look, we don't give a shit about how you feel artistically, okay? We want to hear the best songs you've ever made. We expect to hear that. So that's like, so I'm likening that to this, okay? Now, it's going to have, what, two phases as a concert would? The concert should be the best songs you've ever created, and then sprinkled in that is going to be your new stuff, and you get to do that too so that you can feel good about yourself and your own little butterfly and all the rest of that garbage, okay? So, and we want the Hummingbird people to be happy, and we know they need that. So the same thing, though, applies to the menu. So we're going to do, like, an old school menu, but we're also going to do something different, right? And so the chef can kind of display their culinary skills. And so when we design the menu, it should be basics and then a little bit more. Is that me understanding your intent over all these years pretty well?
I think pretty spot on, baby.
I love when we're like synergistic today, okay? You don't even have to say it, and I know it. Okay, so the basics are going to be burgers, brats. Now, the other thing I remember either last year that you talked about or somewhere was you're a big fan of wraps because they taste great and they're good finger food, but they're really easy to do. Let's talk about wraps. What makes a great wrap? And give us an example of one.
Okay. I'll give you you make a chicken salad.
Okay.
And you take a little bit of cream cheese and spread it on a 12-inch tortilla. And then you put this chicken salad, spread it from side to side on all over the, except for about 2 inches, 3 inches that you're gonna roll from the full end down to the empty end. And that when you roll it, it'll push whatever you're spread in there towards that empty part and fill it up. And you roll it tight. And then you can do it the day before, and you wrap it in saran wrap and put it in your fridge. You want it on a flat surface like a cookie sheet. You just stack a cup, and you can do a chicken salad, a ham salad, an egg salad.
And then what?
You do those, now, right. And then the next day, when you pull it out of the fridge, you get a platter and you do, they're called pinwheels. And you slice it about anywhere, I like about a half an inch slice. And you just slice them like a loaf of bread, and then you put the exposed filling up and then put it on a tray, and you can line them up with a chicken salad, a ham salad, an egg salad, however you want to do that. You can do the same thing with cream cheese, smoked salmon, which is my favorite, onions, chopped onions, and capers. And then you roll it up, and that's my very favorite one. And that is stepping outside the box and blowing your guests away.
Nice.
It's called a smoked salmon roll up.
Wow.
And that's what I would do if you want to dazzle them.
Nice. I like
you
that.
Go to Sam's or anybody and buy pre-sliced smoked salmon. It's not that expensive, and it'll fill up probably 3-4 12-inch tortillas. And you just get a regular spreadable cream cheese, like, Philadelphia does these whipped cream cheeses in a container in the fridge. And or if you do regular cream cheese, you have to let it come to room temperature so you can spread it. But with this whipped cream cheese, you just spread it over. And they have garlic-flavored, little bits of garlic or vegetable or onions. Or just look in your grocery store. Or you can just get plain, with the smoked salmon, I use plain cream cheese. You can buy it whipped, folks, and it's easy to spread, and that's what you do.
Okay.
And it's been a front row for sure with that.
All right, so we got that going, and so we got, we're going to have either a potato salad, egg salad, one of those kind of salads, so that's going to be there. Beans.
Yeah.
Let's give me a couple pointers, and I don't want to make them from scratch. I want to buy something in the can, and then give me a few things to add to it to soup it up to make people think that I really know what I'm doing.
Okay, you can buy your favorite type of bush baked beans.
Bush,
and
yes.
That's the most popular.
Oh my God!
It could be any darn baked beans, whatever you like.
Nah, Bush. And everybody loves Bush.
Yeah, I've always loved Bush. Anyway, you can fry some bacon, chop it up, and mix that in. Or you can take a sausage, either like pork sausage. You can take one of your brats, open it up, and crumble it up and saute it and cook it. And then you add that to the baked beans. if you want to add a little extra onion, which I always do, I do chop some onion and add that. You know, things like that you can do. If you want to add your own homemade barbecue sauce to regular baked beans, do it.
Okay, so give me what if you were making them for your party, what would you add to? So I buy my Bush's baked beans with a little bit of, you know, the maple syrup flavor in it. So if you were preparing these for your party, what would you add to it?
Well, I would, if I didn't make them myself, I would add a little extra brown sugar or maple syrup and absolutely, nice, chunks of bacon. And I would buy that thick cut bacon and fry it, not till it's crisp, just fry it because you know, you want that soft texture of bacon, but you want it cooked. So the little fat in there, when you're heating up your baked beans, that'll kind of melt some of the fat and gives it a little extra flavor. And then I always add extra onions, chopped onions, because that's just how I roll.
All right. So a little bacon, a little chopped onion, and would you soup it up with any kind of heat sauce or anything like that?
Yeah, you can put your favorite. You can put sriracha, which seems to be the sauce of preference, the hot sauce, or Tabasco, whatever, red Tabasco, green Tabasco. I love the flavor of sriracha.
Okay, all right, so that's what we're putting in. So those were our beans. Now, what else? So normally, you know, if this is kind of grilling season, so if you were going to do a little bit of some barbecue, give me what you would do. And I don't want to hear you say, well, you could do this, you could do this. If you were going to do a little barbecue, because Kim, truth be told, when the best party I've ever thrown in my life was called the Back to School, Back to War Party. That in August of 2010 in Grand Forks, North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
I bought 4 bed sheets and spray painted Back to School, Back to War Party and hung it on the house and invited a ton of people. And everybody showed up because they knew it was going to be a good party. And it was a good party. And the fare, the food, was catered by P. Kimball Holmes. And he made his barbecue beef. And it was awesome. So tell everybody when you make barbecue beef, how do you do it?
Okay, I took a prime rib, I cooked it, and seasoned it the way I season my prime rib with garlic, white pepper, salt, basil, oregano, and rosemary, and then I'd roast it in the oven, and then I'd take it out of the oven. And then I put it on the meat slicer and slice it about 1/8 of an inch thick. So they were thin, but they weren't too thin because you want some flavor and don't want it to dissolve, but you want it to kind of shred with your barbecue sauce. And then I would pour we made our own barbecue sauce and I'd pour that all over it and then cover it with foil and heat it in the oven for about 20, 25 minutes. And I pulled the hotel fan. That's a fan about 12 by 14 inches, 16 inches. And then you have these little party buns that are sliced. Don't give somebody, don't set a tray full of buns out there unless they're sliced. Please don't do that to yourself. And then you put that on the chafing dish, you know, a little hot plate, or you can put it in a crock pot and then heat it and then serve it and let them help themselves. And if you didn't want to use beef, and if you don't want to buy a big beef, you go the deli and you have them slice roast beef for you. And there you go. And you'll end up with the same result. Your favorite barbecue sauce, just lay this out, put the sauce in a pan, mix all the meat together, cover it with aluminum foil, put it in the oven, 350, 375 for 25 minutes, depending on how much, meat you had. But, you know, I would buy at least 5 pounds of prime rib, sliced, because it's gonna go fast. And Mac will testify to that.
Yeah, it's gonna, it's delicious. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Is that much work to make, you know, Kim? Because, you know, the prime rib, first of all, is delicious, absolutely delicious.
Yes.
Is that,
well, you know, in a home oven, do you want me to tell you how I do it? I dress it just like I said. I put it in an oven on a raised rack, and the oven is turned up all the way, 550 if I can get it. And I stick it in the center of the oven, and I let it cook for about 35 to 45 minutes, and then I shut the oven off, and I seal the door. You do not open the door ever for 1 hour. It's, there's a serious penalty to pay for that if you open the oven door. And that's how I used to do my prime ribs before I got the Alto Sham. That's a commercial slow cooker.
Right.
Well, cooking holes, it's called. And, but you can do that in your own oven. But then if you don't have a meat slicer, which most folks don't have a commercial meat slicer, or they'll have a meat slicer, but it's belt driven instead of gear driven. And so it might slip, the blade might slip. And then you cut it as thin as you possibly can without cutting yourself. And you have to have a long knife, to slice it down on the cutting board. And I would recommend you put it in the fridge, let it cool, and it's much easier to slice when it's cool. But you can do this, and you can do this maybe, say, like, the 4th of July is this Wednesday.
All right.
Well, you cook this prime rib on Saturday night, and you each have a slice of prime rib with a dinner.
Oh.
And then you save the rib, put it in the fridge, and then you can use the other half for your sandwiches on 4th of July.
That's an awesome idea. That is great. So you get the prime rib, and then you get the barbecue. Yeah, beef sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is brilliant. That is designed for lazy people, too.
Because you have to refrigerate it before you slice it if you don't have a meat slicer. So I'm just giving you get it hot when it comes out of the oven. After you let it sit in there for an hour, it's still warm. It's still going to be deluxe. And hour to an hour, 15 minutes, and then open the door, and then you'll have medium on the outsides and medium rare in the center. So everybody's happy. And then you slice the whatever, slice and save half, refrigerate it, cover it with saran wrap, throw it in the fridge, and then come Tuesday, you slice it up, and then you put it in the sauce, and then you can put that in the refrigerator, and then or cook it off that day, and then just repeat it on the 4th.
So we got barbecue, we got barbecue going, right? We've got brats, hot dogs, hamburgers going. We've got we've got either your favorite potato salad, egg salad. We got the roll ups. We got dips and chips. I got an email, Mac, talking about burgers. Does Kim put anything in his hamburger before he makes the patty? So you Worcestershire? Do you do any seasoning to the meat before you make your pancakes? Before you make your patty?
I do not.
You do not?
When I'm making a burger, the way I like a hamburger is I form the patty. You don't mix it too hard. You've got to form your patty, but you don't mush it. You don't want the hamburger mushy. And so I don't put anything in my burger. That's just me. And I put salt and pepper. I throw it on the grill. And then if I want cheese, take two slices of American cheese. That's the American way to eat a hamburger.
Okay, let me,
American cheese.
All right. Two questions for you. When do you put the cheese on and why two slices?
Because I want it. American cheese melts. If you've ever eaten at McDonald's, you know what I'm talking about. They just have one slice per patty. But two slices, you get a little more cheese, and when you flip it over, and about a minute before you pull the burger off, you put those two slices of cheese on there, and they'll melt, and they'll be just coming over the sides and down the sides, and you zip it up, put it on a bun, and I necessarily don't like toasted buns. I like a soft hamburger bun, and that's how I eat my hamburgers.
All right. So let's talk about the sequencing of food throughout the course of the day, because normally people are going to come sometime in the afternoon, and unless you're going to do just grazing with people coming in and out, most families, when they get together, at some point they're going to sit down and have dinner. So how do you sequence the menu so that there's stuff to graze on, and then we have the main meal, like during the evening before we do fireworks?
Okay. I would start out, when people come in, with your chips, your guacamoles, the dip salsas, that kind of stuff, with the roll-ups. So you dazzle them right out of the gate.
Dazzle them. I like that.
And then I like deviled eggs before. Now, you cook your eggs a day before, put them in the fridge. Then that morning, you slice them in half. You put the yolks in a container. You mash them with mayonnaise. You can throw a little mustard in that mayonnaise, just a touch. You can put real finely diced onions, parsley, and a little bit of paprika. You whip that up until it's like a paste. And then you take a soup spoon, and you take the half the cooked egg, and you scoop it in there, and you make like a half a football mound, and you can sprinkle it with a little more parsley or leave it alone, or paprika to give it a little color, because it's yellow, and then you got red, yellow, and white. And then you can do that, and you just put them in the fridge on a tray, and that's what I'd open with. Okay.
All right, that's good. But it's all good, because the roll up makes it a little bit different with the salmon. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. So then we're just gonna replenish that. And so you could see, not too difficult to do the 4th of July, unless you want to be over the grill all day doing that stuff. You're throwing burgers and brats on, you're taking them off, that thing's going all afternoon, yada, yada, yada. The main course is already prepared. All you got to do is heat that up. And so you could see, it lends to the chef like having a good time.
Yes. And that's when you bring out your baked beans, your mac and cheese, macaroni salad, or you can do mac and cheese, a potato salad, coleslaw, and that's when you have, and your barbecue prime rib, and then if somebody, you know, burgers and brats, the burgers you pretty much have to cook, but then you can have a big platter with your burgers on, and the buns, and the dogs on another, and dogs and brats on another platter. And then everybody helps themselves. You all sit down together, pop another cool one, or open another bottle of wine, and let the games begin.
There you have it. Big,
get ready for the fire.
You have a big line garbage can or two or three sitting out, so everybody throws their own stuff away, so no fuss, no muss, no cleanup for the chef, hopefully, if you have responsible guests.
Plastics, dinnerware.
Okay, give me your favorite summer dessert that you would prepare for a party like this.
Oh, strawberry pie.
Strawberry pie. Like Bob's Big Boy strawberry pie?
Yes. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Bob's Big Boy strawberry pie. Holy smokes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what do you, when you make, do you go buy it or do you make it?
I make it. You can, Beth would make a pie shell. You get strawberries, you wash them, take off the green stem, toss them in, if you cut them in half, if they're really monsters, you cut them in half, toss them in a little lemon juice and sugar, not much, but just a little bit, and that'll create a syrup. But you can buy.
Wait, did you say lemon juice? Did you say lemon juice?
Yeah, to keep it fresh. We're going to put a very sweet strawberry pie covering on it. You can buy it in jars in this grocery store. And then you kind of heat that up a little bit. And then you pile up the strawberries. You start on the outside and build a pyramid. So the top one, strawberry, should be about, 8 to 12 inches off the deck. And then, at least 8 inches. And then you pour this warm sauce all over the pie and let it matriculate down to the strawberries. And then you serve it with you can either use Cool Whip or the Ready Whip, which is whipped cream. Uh-huh. And that's how you serve it. And you probably would get, 6 pieces, to 8 pieces out of a strawberry pie.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Any other thing that I've been smart enough to ask you about 4th of July cooking that you want people to know?
Just have a great time and do as much as you can ahead because you want a party too.
Okay, so in what we've talked about, the brats, the hot dogs, and you don't add anything to your hamburger, so that's all going to get prepared day of. And only the hamburger needs any formation. Everything else is just getting dumped on the grill. Okay. You can do the roll up. You can do it the day before and refrigerate it overnight. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Potato salad.
And can I give a little tip about bratwurst?
No, not yet. I have a couple more questions in terms of preparations. Potato salad, egg salad. There's a whole storing of mayonnaise issue. How long before the event should we make those?
Well, you can make everything, and you can make everything before the day before.
Okay, the day before.
Yeah, it'll sit out. You don't want to. you want to have that, the mayonnaise things in the shade. You do not want them in direct sunlight because you've got about an hour shelf life before you're going to start hurting people.
Got it. All right.
If it's in the direct sun, which, you know, it should be easy to find some shade. And if you can't, then you take you have a double bowl thing where you put ice in one bowl and then you sip a container of potato salad, mac salad, egg salad, coleslaw. You just sit it in that ice and that'll keep it chilled a little longer.
All right. Well, first of all, you travel safe. Tell Bob I said hi. And
I will do that.
And what's your brat tip?
Okay. You take your brats.
Yeah.
You drop them in boiling water for about 10 minutes. And they're not cooked all the way through. But you pull them out. And then you can just keep them in a tray. And all you're doing is you're going to finish cooking them and brown them. Because a lot of times, brats take longer when you throw them directly on the grill. And if you're not standing over them, what? Boil them in beer. Yeah, Beth made a good point, which is what I thank you, Beth. You can cook them in beer for a little bit. 10 minutes, 8 minutes, just to cook them a little bit so they don't take so long on the grill and you don't have to, you still have to stand over them, but they'll cook fast. That's all I'm saying.
Got it.
Make the job easy.
All right. Well, sir, first of all, travel safe.
All right, baby.
Thank you very much for all the pointers. The bottom line in all this, when we talk about food like this on these big kind of food days, is the chef needs to party too. Okay. And you gotta have it like in the box. That way you enjoy it. And you're not that chef who has to collapse in a chair and going, oh my God, you know, come on, man, be a pro. That's for amateurs. So that's
what we want you all to be, as pros.
Yeah, we want you to be pros. And well, most of all, we want you to eat good food and have a great time. And be a great host. So,
yep.
So not so much slave, and we're not about that. Anyway. All right, sir. Give our best to Miss B and Bobby, and have a great weekend.
And you too, Mac. Enjoy the weekend.
I will. I will certainly do that. All right. That'll do it. Thanks, Kim. See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you have it. The All-Marine Radio Head Chef. Right here on Fourth of July. Yeah, fireworks are involved, but it's essentially it's an eating event. You know, kind of like Thanksgiving in terms of emphasis on food. You know, Mother's Day, emphasis on gift. Valentine's Day, emphasis on gift. Fourth of July, fireworks are around, but, okay. I got another one of my buddies is at the DMV. He doesn't have an appointment at the DMV. He's in line. He's going to be there all day. You know what? But it makes me feel good. Now I don't feel so stupid. People say, well, why didn't you get an appointment? That's really stupid. I was like, because my stuff expired. I had to do it. I got tired of driving around like a fugitive, right? My registration expired. You know, that's not a cheap ticket. Right? So I'm not, you know, I don't feel as bad now. Because now when I tell the story, I could say, hey, man. Napa Man did the same thing, and he's a smart guy. Yeah, boom. Other smart people do what I did. But let me tell you, it's a little glimpse into life when you go stay. Let me just tell you, go stand at the DMV for 6 hours and tell me what you think. The other thing is go stand at go to an appointment at the VA and tell me what you think. You know, it's a provider of last resort of medical attention, and so you see some rough things. So anyway, it gives you a little bit more appreciation for what you have and the plight of others in life. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, that's right, the Prince, Prince Michael Musselman, joins us next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.